As 2006 draws to a close, Morning Edition has been searching for a way to end the year with a flourish. Those are the last notes of the last movement in Gustav Mahler's Symphony No. 1, otherwise known as a finale. Our own guide to the classical music scene is Miles Hoffman, here this morning to send 2006 out in style with a celebration of musical endings. Good morning, Miles.
Good morning, Renee.
So, in music, as in life, endings are just as important as beginnings.
They are, in many cases, just as important. Now, there are many pieces that are famous for their beginnings, and their beginnings, their openings are particularly memorable. They give the piece their identity, the hook, you might call it. The perfect example is Beethoven's Fifth. Ba-ba-ba-bum. Everybody knows that. Everybody thinks of the piece like that. And there are many others. But the endings also play a crucial role, Renee. And in fact, they play a variety or can play a variety of roles.
For instance, let's talk about roles.
Well, it's still early in the morning. I wouldn't mind a buttered roll right now and another cup of coffee. I think dramatic analogies are good because you think of how plays end, how films end. The analogy holds. I think many plays end with some sort of moral lesson or an emotional release or a release of tension or a resolution of conflict. Many musical works do exactly the same. Beethoven's Fifth is a great example. I mean, we talked about the beginning. The end of Beethoven's Fifth is the perfect example of triumph.
That's about as powerful as it gets.
Yeah, pretty powerful. It's a big ending for a big piece. Beethoven's Fifth starts very darkly and starts violently, you know, and it starts in a minor key, and yet he doesn't want to end his piece as a tragedy. He wants to resolve it with this great sense of triumph and balance the size of the piece with this enormous ending.
Well, big fat finales, obviously.
I like that, Renee. Big fat finales. Yeah.
Well, they can obviously be very invigorating when they're loud. But is it because they're loud? Does a finale have to be loud?
It doesn't have to be. But the tradition, the convention for at least two or three centuries was generally that it would be. Throughout the 18th century and before and throughout the 19th century, most pieces did end loud. And they very often ended fast. It's good business. We want to send out the audience happy. We want them to go home happy. We want them to have loved the piece, feeling uplifted, and hopefully they'll come to the next concert, and they may even buy the sheet music or the two piano arrangement of this fabulous symphony they've just heard. And it's a great entertainment value. You know, the composer's job, at least the way composers viewed their job for a couple of centuries, was to please the audience. One of the things that in some ways composers have gotten away from a little bit. So this was a convention to end loud and to end fast for a very long time.
That changed close to the beginning of the 20th century, because we certainly heard different finales in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. But which composer changed that?
Tchaikovsky. In 1893, he finished his sixth symphony, also called the Pathétique or the Pathétique. And it was fairly revolutionary because the last movement, instead of being a fast movement, was marked Adagio Lamentoso, a slow lament.
A lament.
Yeah. And the piece even ends softly. So this was the first really major work, the first important symphony, where the composer took this risk, in a sense, to end softly and slowly.
We can only play a little. So, Miles, where should we come in?
Why don't we just play the opening of the finale, the opening of this lamenting adagio. It's very familiar, and it's quite beautiful.
Did this symphony by Tchaikovsky open the way for, if you will, the opposite of triumph?
I think so, Renee. But we could probably give more of the credit, if you want to call it that, to the 20th century itself and to the to the events and the various catastrophes, really, of the 20th century.
When it comes to endings, we all know there are bad endings, but are there composers who have really messed it up when they should have been wrapping it up?
You know, obviously that's going to be a matter of taste, but certainly there are endings that are less successful than others. I think the definition of a bad ending is when the audience doesn't even know it's over. You know, and it's like,
they sit there? Huh.
Yeah, they just sit there and think,
they don't quite clap.
Or why did it not, right, or why did it end there and not somewhere else? And in fact, matter of fact, when you say they don't clap, a friend of mine who plays in the Chicago Symphony tells this story. The Chicago Symphony was on tour with George Schulte years ago. Unfortunately, my friend didn't remember the exact piece. He thinks it was a Bruckner Symphony. And Schulte was conducting. The piece ended, and the audience didn't react at all. And Schulte turned around to the audience and said, "That's it." and so that was the end of the concert, you know. So I guess you'd have to say it's not a very successful ending.
Okay, Miles. Well, this brings us almost to the end.
So that's it, Renee. That's it.
So what is the best and the biggest ending that you can think of to take us out of 2006?
Oh, well, I'm not going to pick the biggest ending because, you know, we'd blast the speakers out. But I can think of one that I think may be the best, or at least the most appropriate as we end the year. And that would be the finale, the very ending of Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro. And why? Because what everybody is singing at the very end of this opera is, how's your Italian, Renee? Corriam tutti a festeggiar. Which means, let's all hurry off to celebrate. So I think that's a great way to end with the finale of Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. Let's all hurry off to celebrate.
Miles Hoffman is violist and artistic director of the American Chamber Players. He's also the author of the NPR Classical Music Companion. And Miles, Happy New Year and many happy finales to come.
Happy New Year to you too, Renee.